Who's ready to learn some Hebrew tonight? Yeah, I know it sounds boring, but I promise you, if you hang with me, your eyes are going to be open to a lot of things. So, all right. Okay, what's in a name? That's how we greet everyone. You've met someone for the first time, what do? You go up and say hello, you ask them their name, you tell them your name. It's what distinguishes us. Well, in the Old Testament, God's got many different names. You know, I've got a list of a few of his names, if Cheryl put that up. Just some of them. You know, there's El Shaddai, El Elyon, Adonai, Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah. And those are just a few. And I apologize for my Hebrew because my pronunciation is not that good. So, but what I want to focus on tonight is El Shaddai. And that in the English translation, it means God Almighty, the Almighty, or the Almighty God. And it suggests that God is the all-sufficient one. He provides all of our needs. Let's see. Need to go to the next slide. The word El Shaddai first appears in Genesis 17:1-2. And it says, "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. The word El is actually used for God about 238 times in the Old Testament. Shaddai is 41 times, and it's used 29 times in the book of Job alone. Shaddai, they don't know the exact translation, but they've broken it down into three root words. The first one is Dai, which means sheds forth, pours out, or to heap benefits, and it suggests God is all-sufficient. The second word is Shad, meaning breast or breasts, and it signifies one who nourishes, supplies, and satisfies. And the third word is Shaddad, meaning to overpower or to destroy, and it suggests that God has absolute power. I mean, that pretty much sums up God's qualities right there with that name. And then again, we can see El Shaddai again, and it's a bunch in the book of Genesis, but in Genesis 28:3, it says, "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples." Then, again, it's used in chapter 35 and verse 11. It says, "God also said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you.'" I mean, each time it's mentioned here in Genesis, it's God is saying he's the Almighty. He's going to provide for you. He's talking to Abraham where he's going to make him into a great nation. He has nothing to fear because God will provide everything he needs. But there's one letter in the Hebrew alphabet that I want to pay close attention to, and it's the letter Shin. Sometimes it's pronounced Sheen. That's what it is. It looks like RW. But what it means is teeth, press, or sharp. And some people pronounce it Shin. Others pronounce it Sheen. I checked with a bunch of people, and each one had a different pronunciation. So, but the reason I want to focus on that letter is that letter also represents Shaddai. So that represents God's name in the Hebrew alphabet. And then that letter is one of the most important ones in the Hebrew language. It actually can be found in many different Jewish words. Jewish people use that, and they put it on the outside of their doorpost, on the main door of their house. It's the next one, Cheryl. This is a picture outside a doorpost in Israel. And the reason they do this is it stands for El Shaddai protects this family. So that way, you know, as soon as you enter the door, you know, God's protecting this family. But it's also inscribed on cases containing a mezuzah. And a mezuzah is a sacred scroll to Hebrews. And it is a scroll of parchment with a biblical text on it, which is right here. And this is, again, representing God protecting this sacred scripture. Yes? It just makes it a stronger pronunciation. So that's why it's the definition is press or sharp. And when they add those little lines, it just means a stronger pronunciation of that word. Now, there is one thing I need to ask everyone. And you need to be honest with me. How many people in here have watched Star Trek when they were younger? Okay. Well, Cheryl, put the picture up. How many people are familiar with this guy? You see his little hand signal, hand sign there? Well, of course, it's, you know, in the TV show, it's live long and prosper. But did you know Leonard Nimoy was an Orthodox Jew? And he actually got this hand sign from something else. And it's a priestly blessing in Hebrew. Cheryl, show the next one. It's actually this symbol here. And what this blessing is may the Lord bless you and guard you. May the Lord make his face shed light upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his face unto you and give you peace. So you can find God in about anything anymore. You know, one of my classes in college was finding God in pop culture. And that's where I first learned about this. So every time Leonard Nimoy got on TV and did his little signal or hand sign, he was basically blessing people in the name of God. You know, and not anyone really knows that. So every time someone does that, you know, live long and prosper, that's blessing you in God's name. So, now, and like I said, this symbol can be found in a lot of different places. Of course, the Hebrew of El Shaddai, Cheryl, can you put that up, please? Okay, there's the Hebrew spelling of El Shaddai. And if you look, there's the symbol in there. And of course, it's God Almighty. Now, remember that symbol. Now, does everyone know what Jesus' name is in Hebrew? Yahshua. There it is, too. Yep. Yeah. So, right there, God's name is in his son's name. And let me get to this scripture real quick. It's in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 4. Or it's Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Excuse me. Now, this is going to be the main focus here, and you need to really pay attention to this one because it's actually really good. It's, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." And I showed you that, you know, the Hebrew people take that very seriously. They have that symbol on their doorpost. They place it on all their sacred scrolls. So they're following God's instructions in Deuteronomy. But you know, you can actually find this letter in some really, really cool places. Jerusalem. It has, the Hebrew of Jerusalem has that letter in it as well. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 6, But I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people of Israel. Cheryl, can you show the aerial view of it, please? Now, here's an aerial view of Israel. You really don't see much there right now. But Israel is actually made up by three valleys. The three valley one, sure. Okay. The valleys are the valley of Ben Hinnom. Now, this is where my pronunciation is going to be bad. The Tyropian Valley and the Kidron Valley. All three of these valleys converge. Now you can go to the next one. And if you look, it's outlined right here. Do you see what that picture is? That's the letter Shin in the city of Jerusalem. So that's God's city. He has placed his name on Jerusalem. And I mean, right there. And you can see in the middle is where the temple was. So I mean, right in God's presence. It's his city. It's a city of peace. If we actually, you know, turn back to God, it'll be a city of peace again. And once Jesus comes back, that's where he's going to set up his kingdom. And you know, it's got the modern day version of the Shin up there to show you. And then it's got the ancient version of it off to the side. But yeah, the little marks show exactly where it is. There's also, speaking of the heart, did you know the human heart is made up of two chambers? The upper chamber is the atrium, the lower chamber is the ventricle. The average adult heart beats 72 times a minute, 100,000 times a day, 3,600,000 times in a year, or 2.5 billion times during a lifetime. A kitchen faucet would need to be turned on all the way for at least 45 years to equal the amount of blood pumped by the heart in a lifetime. Every day, the heart creates enough energy to drive a truck 20 miles and back. That is the equivalent of driving to the moon and back. The heart begins beating 4 weeks after conception and does not stop until death. Now, also, the word heart in the King James Version of the Bible is mentioned 725 times in the Old Testament, 105 in the New. So why am I going on about the heart right now? All these facts I gave you pale in comparison to what I'm getting ready to show you. Cheryl, show the picture of the heart. Okay, this is just a cutout of the heart. It shows, you know, how it's set up and everything. But there's something really peculiar in there. Cheryl, go to the next slide. You see it now? The letter Shin, which stands for Shaddai, or God Almighty, is written in your heart. God has placed his holy name on you. He has chosen you from the beginning. So not only has he placed his name in his city, but in you. So just remember that. Some great examples in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36 and verse 26. It says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." Ezekiel 36, verse 26. So right there, God's talking about, you know, being in your heart. Another example is in 2 Corinthians, chapter 6 and verse 16. And it says, "Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols, for we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then we can find another example in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and verses 17 through 19. And it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God. Now, I cannot think of anything better during Passion Week, because this is what makes us a Christian here. You know, Jesus came into Jerusalem on Sunday and humbled himself. And it was during this week, tomorrow is Good Friday, is the day that he was scourged and took up the cross and became the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. You know, just from the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, God still had a plan. I mean, from the very beginning, you are wonderfully and fearfully made. And this proves it. This is more than a coincidence. I don't care what anyone says. There is no way that all of this is a coincidence where you can find that symbol in the human heart. You are God's creation. And you never forget that. Anytime someone tries to argue about it, you can tell them this. I mean, and just the example with Jerusalem. You can't tell me that wasn't all in God's plan when he had all these together. And, you know, the ancient Hebrews, you know, they probably didn't know much about anatomy. You can't, you know, say that they figured this out in the beginning and that's how they developed their alphabet. I mean, you know, anatomy, basic human anatomy didn't come around for a while. So who would have thought to dissect the heart and find God's name written on it? So just again, you have been chosen. From the day you were born, you have been marked as God's. You need to remember that. Anytime you feel unworthy or that you don't matter, you matter to someone, and he's proven it to you. But now that you know this, God has chosen you, but what are you going to do with it? It's up to you to choose him. He's given us free will. So, you know, he didn't want us to just, he could have, you know, designed us to praise him all the time, turned us into an automaton, a robot, but he didn't do that. He loves us too much. He wants us to come to him freely. So just like I said, he's chosen you. Now it's time for you to choose him. And having this knowledge, I don't think I could ever go back to anything that's been in my past. Because this was such a revelation to me. And when I first started reading this, I was actually reading a Perry Stone book. And he mentioned it. And I was like, this can't be right. There's no way. So I started researching, and Cheryl can tell you, as soon as I started researching, I was jumping in the air because it was amazing. I wanted to tell everyone about it because it's, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, it proves that, yeah, it proves that there is a God. No matter what anyone says, I mean, look at that. I mean, right there in your heart. And because of this, if anyone wants to argue with me, that's fine. But I'm going to spread this with everyone because there is nothing more that I fear than one day, you know, we all will face judgment. We will stand before the throne and face judgment. There are words I don't want to hear. And he says, sorry, I'm trying to, there we go. I was having difficulties with my technology. Yeah. But he said, this part of the scripture is what terrifies me, knowing if I don't choose right. And it's Jesus saying, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You know, the Bible's full of good news, but I can take those words terrify me, and I always want to be walking the straight and narrow, doing everything I can to, you know, make Jesus and God proud. Because honestly, when I get to heaven, you know, if the Lord tarries and, you know, I die of natural causes, but if he comes back, there's one thing I want to hear. And okay, and it says, there it is. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." You know, that's what we all strive for. There is, can you imagine that day? Knowing that God has chosen you from the beginning, and then you complete your race. You are a good and faithful servant, and then you're embraced by Jesus. And it's through him that we have salvation. And it's through El Shaddai, God Almighty, who has chosen us from the beginning. You know, it's through him and his son that he is all sufficient. He will provide all our needs. All we have to do is trust in him and follow him and have nothing but faith. That's good. Amen. Again, we're going to have an early night, so I'm sorry. But just remember that after we close, if you need any prayer whatsoever, or if you just need to, if you've never given your life to Christ, now's the time. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. I mean, look at what's happened in Belgium. You know, there were people just going to the airport to either go on vacation or go home.
And
there were terrorist bombings, and so. But you know, it's stuff like that. Every day you're reading about different traffic accidents. You know, like I said, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You could be going out to lunch tomorrow and something could happen. So, yeah. So before you leave, make sure you know where you're going to spend eternity. You don't want to have that doubt. And if you're having doubt, I want to pray for you. There's people around here that want to pray for you. And there's people that'll even come talk to you if you do leave here and you still want prayer. So I'm going to give it back to him, and then we'll close and pray. Thank you, everyone.
Good job, Brandon. Let's give him a big hand. That's what you call homegrown. Amen. Amen. That was good. The Lord is faithful. He is a good God, and that was excellent. And it's from our own crop that's been, seeds have been planted, and it's springing up and begin to give us a harvest. The Lord is faithful. You know, there's a song that goes something like, "How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today." There's so much truth in that. Let's all stand, if you would. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you're here tonight and the Lord has spoke to you through Brandon's message, and you really question how you stand with the Lord, you question your heart tonight, the Lord gives us a choice, and the choice is ours. But if you're here tonight and need prayer with all heads bowed, would you raise your hand, whatever the need might be? We can pray for you tonight. The Lord is faithful. And like he said, we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what we want to hear. Lord, we thank you for this service tonight. We thank you for your presence that has been with us. Lord, I ask your richest blessings on each and every one in this congregation tonight as they leave here. That you give them strength. If they're weak in their body, that you would strengthen them. Father, I pray that you would touch each and every one of them. Bless their families. A lot of needs, Father, but you're a big God. And we just pray that your hand would touch, encourage, and strengthen each one. Bring us back Sunday, Father, to worship the risen Lord. Help us to bring our families, our friends, our neighbors, Father, back into your house. We look forward to your presence being here in a mighty and powerful way this Sunday. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Father, for this word that came forth tonight. I just ask that you continue to bless Brandon, strengthen, encourage, and keep him. And Lord, for all these things, we're going to give you praise and glory and honor, for you're worthy of them all. In Jesus' name, amen.